Heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again in this holy season of Lent. Congratulations, we made it. We made it to Lent. You know, it's one of those things that as I reflect with some of my fellow Catholics, maybe perhaps yourself as well, that when I ask them, well, what's your favorite liturgical season? And of course, the standard answer is, well, I like all of them, which is true. Yes, we need to like all of them. But many people will say that they enjoy Lent, which seems kind of counterintuitive because it's a time of detachment and abstinence and fasting and almsgiving and prayer. And it seems like all these things that we're depriving ourselves of would make it not so favorited amongst us. But yet there is something extraordinarily special about it because it is meant to be focusing our relationship with God and on deepening that, or deepening our practice of the Catholic faith. Looking at this Sunday's Gospel reading, I want to focus in on one specific line that Jesus says. He says, "This is the time of fulfillment." Well, what does that mean? Well, let's bear in mind that Jesus in his very person is the fulfillment. Fulfillment of what? Good question. Well, we know from the Sermon on the Mount that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets, but even their fulfillment points to a larger fulfillment, the fulfillment of all things. Think about it just for a minute. Jesus is the fulfillment of all things. Specifically, that includes the temple, the centrality of worship. Remember when he said, you know, tear this temple down and I will rebuild it again in 3 days. He was talking about the temple of his body, right? He's the fulfillment of the earthly temple in Jerusalem. And along that same vein, he's also the fulfillment of Israel. He's the fulfillment of the chosen people of God. He is the one who makes good on all the promises, all the covenants that were made, both from the godly perspective, but also from the human perspective that God made with his people Israel. He is the fulfillment, therefore, of all of history. In fact, he's the culmination of all of history. He is the meaning of all human history. And he is, therefore, also the fulfillment of all creation. He is the exaltation and of the meaning and purpose of creation. He alone, if we look to him, we will see what creation is all about. And of course, he is the fulfillment of humanity. He is the man. He's not only the example of a life lived in total dedication to and love of God the Father, but he's also the way in which each and every one of us enters into that kind of relationship with God the Father. Which means, of course, that he is the fulfillment of you. He is your ultimate fulfillment. The only way to become the unique, unrepeatable person that God created you to be is through him. When you give yourself to him, he gives your true self to you. That's the paradox, but the wonderful mystery of entering into a relationship with Jesus. So how do we partake? How do we partake of this great fulfillment? Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what our gospel lesson says this Sunday. Remember, though, this is an ongoing process. It's turning away from sin, believing in the gospel that we profess on Ash Wednesday. It's not a one-and-done thing, but it's at the very heart of our daily practice of our Catholic faith. And what better time to recommit ourselves to that process than now, during this holy season of Lent, right? Now, there are lots of aids out there to assist us to have a good Lent. Two I'd like to make special mention of. First, check out the Archdiocesan Synod at Home series. It's available at archspm.org/synod. The Synod at Home series takes helpful videos, tips, and tools for growing in faith. And what they do is they pair them with family-friendly activities based on four pillars: prayer and sacraments, lifelong learning, generosity and service, and traditions and fun. In addition to that, Chris Stefanik, who's the founder of Real Life Catholic, author of The Search and other Catholic books, and global Catholic speaker, he's going to open each session, and you'll hear testimonials even from other Catholics about how their faith has grown deeper and their relationships enriched by intentionally living their faith. That's the Archdiocesan Synod at Home series, and you can go to archspm.org/synod to check that out. Second suggestion, Relevant Radio is providing free text, audio, and premium video. That's right, Relevant Radio providing video Lenten lessons on the Mass through a one-time sign-up at relevantradio.com and on the free mobile app. And this, what's going to happen here is Father Rocky is going to guide the Lenten season with daily reflections via email and on air, and new this year, behind-the-scenes videos to discover even more. All you got to do is go to relevantradio.com/Lent, and you can join over 100,000 Relevant Radio fans and listeners who signed up for these 40 exclusive lessons for an enhanced Lenten experience. So that's all available to you. Two ways that you can enter in more deeply into Lent and into relationship with Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all things. All right, we've got a great show coming up again today. We've got Dan Stockman with us from Novari Counseling. He's going to talk to us about the effects of COVID 1 year on. Father Charles Lakowitzer is going to join us a little bit later on how to prepare our hearts for Lent and the Easter seasons. And finally, Mary Christensen, a high school junior, and Bill Brady are going to be with us from Corpus Christi in Roseville talking about the Young and Hungry Zoom Forum. All that's coming up in just a moment. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. First up is Dan Stockman, who's the director of Novari Counseling Center, and he's also an adjunct faculty at St. Paul's Seminary. He's got a master's degree in counseling from Franciscan University in Steubenville. He's married and the father of three children. Dan, welcome to the program.
Patrick, thank you for having me. It's a great honor.
Great to have you with us. So tell us, before we get into kind of the effects of COVID 1 year on, which is what we want to focus on, tell us again a little bit about Novari.
Yeah, I'll first start by explaining Novari, which in Latin means to make new, and that speaks to our mission. Novari was a response to human needs, first with my own, which is that I had a desire to go deeper in my Catholic faith and to go deeper in my clinical work, and then within a context of an intentional Catholic community. The second was that I perceived that there was a need in the Archdiocese for Catholics to have a trusted and competent counseling resource.
Right, which is always always necessary to have that. What kind of counseling do you provide?
Well, we really cover the gamut in terms of ages and various needs, individuals, couples, families.
Now, I would imagine that in the midst of all this counseling, of course, it seemed to me to be most effective when you can have, of course, a personal interaction with the people to whom you're giving this counsel. And that being the case, of course, the pandemic has set in, and I'm sure you, in fact, we've talked with some other of your staff about this pretty early on in the pandemic. But what kind of adaptations have you had to make here during the pandemic?
Yeah, so two changes. The first, early onset of pandemic, we moved the entire practice online, and almost all of our clients moved with us. That was just somewhat a surprise. We were a little bit worried about how that would kind of play out. Yeah. They really didn't miss a beat in providing counseling services. And then the next change was that this summer we made the decision to allow in-person sessions. As a clinical position, not political, not claiming something scientific. And so teletherapy has been a really good fit for most, and it can reach more people, it casts a wider net, and then also within the pandemic, it honors, you know, the various individual circumstances, safety and comfort kind of needs. And it seems like, you know, teletherapy will continue on. It seems that it's established itself as a valid counseling medium. But we also just kind of recognize the need for in-person services. And so that's been a response to our own needs, but also in serving clients.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm grateful to hear that that actually most of your clientele has followed you online. I think that's a great thing. Let's talk a mm-hmm. little bit about the effects of a pandemic on mental health. Now, there have been a lot of speculations out there that I've heard, but I'm not being in the practice itself. Then I haven't necessarily seen if there have been official studies done about how pandemics affect our mental health. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the study that I'd like to feature came from CDC about data gathered in June of 2020. And I think these statistics are meaningful. They speak to what you suggested might be kind of speculative. And I think there will be more studies coming out. It does take time for studies regarding completed suicides to sort of make their way into the public. So we'll see kind of where we're at, I think, soon, you know, based upon that tragedy. But with this CDC study, I'll just go through it quickly and
sure.
just highlight a few things.
Yeah, please.
First, again, June of 2020 was based upon a population-based survey of over 5,000 Americans, which means random sampling. So you're trying to capture a kind of average experience of an American. So the first is that there 4 in 10 of those surveyed reported one adverse mental or behavioral health condition. The second statistic, 3 in 10 reported symptoms of anxiety or depression. One quarter reported symptoms of trauma and a stressor-related disorder due to the pandemic, which would be, you know, like an example would be PTSD. Okay. Not always that, but that would be under that category. 13% started or increased substance use to cope with stress or the emotions. And then 11% seriously contemplated suicide in the past 30 days. And then if you look at the 18 to 24-year-old bracket, 25%.
Wow.
Yeah. And then to put that into context, if you don't mind if I continue.
No, please, yeah.
If we compare prevalence rates of from June of 2019, we see that anxiety disorders tripled.
Really?
So 2019, 8% prevalence rate in the population. And then, as I mentioned, for that June timeframe, 26%. And then prevalence for depressive disorders quadrupled. So 24% versus 6.5%.
Now,
and then within, go ahead,
no,
please.
No, please, go ahead.
Well, the last is regarding completed suicides. And there may be data out there that I'm not aware of. And this was within the military of last year, where that they reported in a military official's report that there was a 20% rise in completed suicides among active military service people. So those are sobering. Those are important to take into consideration, in addition to kind of the anecdotal side of things where, you know, as clinicians, in my role as a director, and also I more or less serve as the intake coordinator, so I get a lot of requests that are coming in. And trends that I've seen include increase in marriage counseling, and then also for adolescents. You know, so it's been a tough time for kids and for relationships.
Right. And we're so relationally driven as human beings. Now, I can speculate again from my own fields of knowledge and expertise, which are not counseling and not therapy, nothing like that, not mental health, but about what would contribute to these things. But in your educated opinion, what are the things that are coming in that are influencing, particularly during the time of pandemic, that are making all these numbers rise so dramatically?
Mm-hmm. Isolation and uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it has a, is there a factor of the danger of the pandemic, like the people dealing with the fact of their mortality, or is it much more of that we just aren't in touch with one another?
I think it's maybe it's more representative within the client population that we serve. That I would say that it has more to do with kind of general stressors and isolation versus a more sort of entrenched fear regarding COVID. Mm-hmm. And again, things are so kind of individualistic. And then it's not just COVID. I mean, in 2020, we got hit with a lot. And so you kind of combine that with political unrest and trying to sort out who to trust. I think there's a level of kind of weariness or fatigue that comes with all of the kind of back and forth work that we've had to do. And then with, you know, stress, it reveals a lot about who we are and how we cope, the good and the bad. Sure. You know, so it might reveal as to the depth of our faith, levels of resilience, but can also reveal sort of masked or unfinished business or wounds, and also can then sort of bring to the surface more latent mental health conditions that may have been managed well, you know, especially with depression or anxiety, but then all of a sudden you get a kind of a spike based upon a elevated level of stress. And again, with isolation, we need that sense of community to be able to walk with each other and to do so in a meaningful, true kind of connected way.
Right, right. Well, doubtlessly, Dan, everybody's life has changed somehow during this whole pandemic time. Mm-hmm. And most of our lives, probably, I think I can say reasonably that we have they've changed rather dramatically in a number of different ways, but probably amongst the most primary are those that kind of sense of isolation that's going on. Now, I can appreciate that the counseling that you and your team give to people is very individualized and very specific to the individual. But anything you can offer to the kind of the masses that may be listening to Practicing Catholic, or that are part of the listening audience on our podcasts or anything like that, that would help them in terms of dealing with some of the stresses that have arisen out of these changes that have occurred mm-hmm. to our lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely. And these things that I would present also speak to my own need. Obviously, this has been hard for everyone, and sure. We really do need to kind of be aware of where we're at, to be emotionally honest in terms of where we're struggling, and then from that place to kind of move towards various forms of help or even strategies. So just to go in a little bit more deeper with that question. A client this week came to the realization that in the midst of his depression, anxiety, that he needed to kind of move. Move mean, okay, what are things that I can move towards in my life? And that caught me at my attention and kind of generated some curiosity and struck me. So I was just going to kind of put it into that framework of what to do. So the first would be move towards connection and dependence with others, including God. Mm-hmm. Move towards meaning and purpose. Move towards beauty. Move towards increased physical activity. You know, move your body. This is so kind of essential to our mental health. Move towards healthy rhythms and coping patterns. It seems like that has been disrupted by COVID in so many cases, the kind of natural structure and rhythm of life gets thrown off. And I think that can just be one basic thing to consider. Maybe that's already been adapted by most people, but something worth considering. And then it would be the other side of moving, which is be to kind of move away. And speaking from kind of the therapist, moving away from that which is hurtful to you, to, again, honestly kind of assess where you're at. Assess, you know, what am I doing that is hurtful or unhealthy? And then to kind of look at, okay, what would be helpful or what would be healthy? The other item is that moving away from hypervigilance, which takes us away from reality. And that's kind of something that I see, you know, within the elevated levels of fear and kind of panic and also kind of, there's so much kind of happening that we feel like we have to kind of constantly be kind of tapped into news or from a variety of different kind of sources. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, vigilance can be adaptive and really even fits within our Christian life, our life as Catholics, because that keeps us in reality. But with hypervigilance, you know, it's fueled by fear, and then really it does take us away from reality. And so as followers of Christ, you know, we want to be in reality. And then the final item, which relates to the first, would be to move away from self-reliance.
Hmm. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. Again, where we overly depend upon ourselves and we don't lean into relationships and accept our vulnerability. We don't accept our dependence. And we generally fail when we take that approach, especially under these particular conditions, that things will generally break down if we're not in a place of meaningful connection with others and being transparent, which is really part of what therapy offers, is this kind of place to bring yourself, for us to kind of walk with the client and walk in a way that's pointing towards something more, and for them to kind of depend upon us to help them heal and to break through areas of where they're stuck.
Right. Okay. Well, we've only got about half a minute remaining, Dan, but I did want to ask you, if people are interested in learning more about Novare Counseling Center, where can they go?
Yeah, so the website is novarecounseling.com, and then also phone number would be 612-424-9983. And we're in St. Paul, just about a mile west of the Xcel Energy Center.
Okay. All right. Right there in the heart of St. Paul. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Dan Stockman, director of the Novare Counseling Center, it's been great to have you on the program. Thank you for your insights here. We'll continue to pray for you as you're doing this important work, all right?
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate, too, just you providing space for the mental health topic. It feels really important, and I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely. Well, take care, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, you too. We'll see you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. So again, that's novarecounseling.com, 612-424-9983, if you're interested in learning more about Novare Counseling Center. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got Father Charles Lockowitzer, the Vicar General, with us on how to prepare our hearts for Lent and the Easter season. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind your listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the cause of life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. We are privileged to have our Vicar General and Moderator of the Curia with us. Father Charles Lockowitzer was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in 1990. Since then, he's served as an associate pastor at the Church of St. Michael in Stillwater, principal of St. Croix Catholic School, pastor of the Church of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Maplewood, pastor of the Church of St. John Newman in Eagan, and as president of the Board of Directors and Canonical Administrator for Faithful Shepherd School in Eagan. And now he is our Vicar General, Moderator of the Curia. Father, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very, very wonderful to have you with us. All right, so just so you know, we might have somebody listening in, Father. It's just possible that we have somebody listening in who is really starting to try out this Lent thing for the very first time. So remind us on some of the basics. Like, for instance, why do we make sacrifices during Lent?
Well, the whole Lenten season is really a movement to the cross of Good Friday. So each of the things we do in fasting, almsgiving, and prayer is to deepen our sense of the reality of being human beings. We are sinners. We know a world or have experienced ourselves suffering, other types of painful experiences that come with life, as well as death itself. And by entering right into that sadder part, if you will, of our humanity, we prepare ourselves for that cross of Good Friday. And so the more meaningful the things we choose during the Lenten season, the greater meaning then it has on the cross, where we see that our little sacrifices were to help us understand the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Mm, yeah, uniting our sacrifices with his great sacrifice, yeah.
Our sufferings, you know, just coming into that sense of that outpouring of mercy that turns even our sufferings into a, if you will, a way of redemption.
Right, right. Well, let's also talk then a little bit about, you know, one of the things that comes up oftentimes, and it's interesting, this used to be pretty well known, I think, throughout at least my small, very Catholic town, even though I myself wasn't Catholic at the time. Growing up, everybody kind of understood that, you know what, you can't serve meat at school, for instance, on Fridays during Lent. But it's becoming, I think, less and less known by society in general. Why do Catholics not eat meat on Fridays during Lent?
Well, it was a myth that it was to support the fishing industry. And
good point, yes.
You know, actually, there's an ancient practice of giving up meat because meat was a festival food. So it wasn't a part of the staple of day-to-day life. Meat was associated with wedding banquets, with seasonal festivals, with, you know, rejoicing in the harvest. And so it had that very special connection to, you know, the great celebrations of the societies at that time and the religions. And so to give that up is also to give up the festivals and the celebrations as well. So it was tied into that sense of sacrificing something of great value in order to be more profound in the spiritual season, whether it was a season of repentance and conversion, as we would, as Christians, celebrate during Lent, or if it was just a way to, you know, honor tradition. But that giving up of meat is an ancient practice.
Mm. Great. So let's talk a little bit more, maybe aimed at those who have done Lent a number of times, a number of seasons, and they're really looking for ways to make this Lent, enter into this Lent afresh and anew, and see some strides, some measurable strides in their relationship with the Lord. What kind of suggestions do you have for creating a fruitful Lenten penance or practice or fast?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, minimally we, you know, look at our sins in preparation for going to confession. But that whole practice of celebrating the Sacrament of Reconciliation is a Lenten journey. We come in very conscious of our sins, and then we come out of the confessional very conscious of the mercy of Jesus. And so I think part of what gives Lent a richer meaning for those of us who have, you know, giving up chocolate-covered rutabagas every year for the past 40 years, where it becomes kind of a routine, is to start searching the deeper meaning behind the things we are doing, to be very conscious, particularly during this time of pandemic and social unrest and all the other things that cause us worry and anxiety, is to reflect on those, not to wallow in the world's misery, but to really find the hand of Jesus that is at the cross of Good Friday that leads us to Easter. As a preacher, I used to like to say, you know, it's the transformative power of the Holy Spirit that makes us an Easter people, though we know all too well it's a Good Friday world. Mm-hmm. And so rather than denying the world out there or the interior world, it is that deeper sense of faith that we confront it. We walk right into it, and we know we're heading to Good Friday. So I think to give the cross its prominence in the Lenten season is something that even, you know, well-practiced at the Lenten observances can use that as a time of reflection and prayer and getting into the profundity of the cross in this day and age. You know, there's a lot different this year than last year, and finding the deeper spiritual meaning in that is a great way to do the same old Lenten practices.
Right, and to stay on that for just a moment, Father, you know, as I've been looking around the web at some Lenten possibilities, you know, and trying to set up my own Lenten practices for this year's Lent, I've come across a number of times, I've been kind of surprised by this, about how often I come across, well, I'm not giving anything more up because this whole, you know, 2020 has been an entire season of Lent, you know, in some of the things. And, you know, there's some truth to that. I can understand that. But what's your response to that, Father? And I would say there's still meaning behind doing something in particular for the holy season of Lent and not just kind of carrying on as we have been since the pandemic began.
Yeah, there, you know, people have spiritual practices that are different. You know, some people say, I'm not giving up something, I'm adding something. But really, it's a walk together as the church. And so to do the basics, if you will, is to trust that God will, by grace, open our eyes to things that we didn't see. We didn't see the reason for giving something up because the whole pandemic has been Lent. Well, that's like saying that, you know, we don't need purgatory because we just went through it. Life. So there are ways in which, just by following the discipline, that it brings unity in the church. We're experiencing the same things. And we can do other things that are creative as well. But I always encourage people to do the discipline of Lent. And in fact, the more we don't want to do it, the more Lent it is.
Hey, I like that. Yeah, very good. I might have to steal that line from you, Father. I like that a lot.
If I say something inspiring, thank God. Otherwise, blame me.
Right. Very good. I like it. All right. Well, I'm also, you mentioned about taking up a practice. Well, obviously, this is the year of St. Joseph, declared by our own Archbishop Hebda, and then subsequently by our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Any specific thoughts about what we might do to include St. Joseph in our Lenten practices this year?
And one, this is just for me personally. Part of it is, you know, what our archdiocese has come through on the safety of our children, and connecting that to the care that St. Joseph gave to the child Jesus, is to be more aware in our Lenten practices of the needs of our children. You know, it's a very adult world when it comes to people's needs, and too often the needs of our children are somehow forgotten. All that to the, you know, in fasting, you know, recalling just the number of children who still go to bed hungry in this country, let alone around the world. And so I think to look at that care that St. Joseph provided for Jesus, and somehow through the intercession of St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, deepen our awareness of the needs of our children and our society today.
Yeah, that's great. Great suggestion. And in fact, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in our upcoming interview just right after this one with Mary Christensen and Bill Brady about something Corpus Christi is doing and youth and young and hungry Zoom forum that's coming up. So stay tuned for that. Father, we also wanted to talk now. Maybe this is getting a little too personal, but do you have one or two of your own personal Lenten practices that you'd be willing to share on air with others?
Sure. You know, I do the typical give up soda because I'm always reaching for it in my truck. And when it's not there during Lent, you know, it gives me an opportunity to at least make the sign of the cross. If not, you know, Hail Mary, Our Father, and a glory be. But that, if you will, common practice that all of a sudden isn't there. For almsgiving, I typically do something beyond stewardship. You know, I haven't made my choice yet. Sometimes I procrastinate on that. But just looking at a way I'm putting a conscience on my dollar and make a contribution to what I believe is supporting the mission of the church, whether it be for the respect and protection of life or whether it be another specific project. Prayer is, for me, supplemental readings, finding, especially in the Magnificat. You know, there is the readings and the Mass of the day, but there's reflections by past popes, reflections by saints. There's a whole section on the deeper meaning of Lent, and these are good things. So in the fasting, it's just, instead of giving something up and forgetting about it, call to mind every time I want a can of soda that, you know, it's Lent, almsgiving, doing good work, and prayer, some supplemental readings, or even using the Google Bing Yahoo machine to do a deeper dive on some spiritual questions.
Yeah, very good. Okay. All right, so before we let you go here, Father, we've got a few minutes left, and I wanted to focus in for a bit on the Easter season. I've said this before on this program, but I'll say it again, that it seems to me that I'm getting a little bit seasoned in the Lenten practices. I think I'm getting this spirit of detachment, a spirit of sacrifice and that sort of thing. And that I have seen fruits of that because of, you know, God's grace working in and through me at that time. But I'm really rubbish when it comes to celebration. So let's look at Easter for a moment. So when that Easter vigil takes place and we're celebrating and then we move into the Easter season, any suggestions on how do we celebrate well, Father?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, it says something about us that we do Lent better than we do Easter.
Yeah, right.
You know, in the 7 weeks of the Easter season, moving to Pentecost, going through Acts of the Apostles, in some cycles, the Bread of Life discourses by St. John the Evangelist. But the repetition of the songs and, you know, the flowers and everything else, most people are moved on into ordinary time. Probably 2 weeks into Easter, if that long.
Yeah, right.
What I like to encourage, I preach to myself first, is to set our hearts for the unfolding mystery. I think each year we can hear something new and go deeper into the mystery of the real presence in the person of Jesus Christ, deepening our hunger for and gratitude for the Eucharist. Sometimes it's taking one of the virtues each week in the Easter season, and then just seeing how at Sunday Mass, coincidentally, that virtue takes on a greater importance in our lives, or the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the seven sacraments, because all of them are being celebrated in the Easter season. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, not to be a passive spectator and wait for Easter to do something it didn't do to us last year when we were bored with it in the third week. It is to be intentional and to know that the things that we're doing, whether it be the virtues or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through the Easter season, God also will be working, unfolding a sense of the mystery of the resurrection in our time and in our day.
Yeah, great suggestions. I love the thinking of each week of the Easter season to focus in on the virtues or the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the sacraments, something like that. I love that idea.
Corporal works of mercy. We have so many lists of seven. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't undo Easter by going to the seven deadly sins. That's Lent. But
okay, all right. Very good, very good. I like that. Well, and that's just it, is that I think oftentimes after giving up something for Lent, now we see Easter as a time of indulgence, which for me, I'll again preach to myself or admit my own faults that, you know, for me it turns into overindulgence. And then, you know, then I'm right back where I started from. It's not, anyway. So we don't need to go into that, especially as our time is winding up here, Father. So I'm wondering if before we let you go, would you be willing to give an on-air blessing for all of our listeners for a sacred Lent and a celebratory Easter, please?
Well, what a privilege, and God bless your good work, and may the blessings of Almighty God be with our listeners, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Charles Lockowitzer, we are so grateful to have you with us. Thank you, and God bless you in your continued work for our Archdiocese.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, we're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we've got Mary Christensen and Bill Brady from Corpus Christi in Roseville going to share with us about the Young and Hungry Zoom Forum coming up. Stay with us. There's going to be lots of good things to learn from this.
this is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I got to go and I got to get rid of my sin because if I don't, then I'm going to be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession now. And a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Rathum, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Joining me now, Mary Christensen's a junior high school, where she also serves as a co-president of Highland Park Senior High's service club, The Good Club. And in the past, she says she's been a teen mentor and Sunday school instructor at her church, which is Corpus Christi Catholic Church in Roseville. Mary, welcome to the program to you.
Hello.
Great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us. And also, yes. Bill Brady is with us, who's a retired communications professional, most recently working as a communications director for U.S. Bank. Currently serves as a volunteer chair of the Board for Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul, a faith-based anti-poverty organization, and on the Social Justice Committee for Corpus Christi Parish in Roseville. Bill, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful to have you both. Thank you for joining us. As we're talking about the Young and Hungry Zoom Forum, Bill, let's start with you. What is this, the Young and Hungry Youth Hunger in Minnesota, what we can do about it? What's that all about?
Well, that is the theme we chose for our annual Lenten Forum. The Corpus Christi Social Justice Committee, every year we sponsor two forums, one during Advent and one during Lent. These, as you know, are times when the church asks us to be a little more contemplative and prepare ourselves for the celebrations ahead, and this is our way of contributing to that atmosphere of contemplation, if you will, by looking at a contemporary issue through a spiritual lens. And we chose youth hunger for our theme this year because we've heard so much from our friends in the nonprofit world about how the pandemic and the resulting lockdowns and such have really exacerbated food insecurity across the board, and in particular among segments of the population that were already at risk, people of color, the indigenous communities, and of course children and youth.
Right, right. And this is going to culminate in a Zoom meeting or a Zoom forum, correct, on February 24th, Wednesday, February 24th, is that right?
Yes, this coming Wednesday, 7 p.m., thankfully, it's Zoom, so one of the silver linings of the pandemic is that you don't have to be within driving distance of Corpus Christi Church to join us.
Yeah.
You can just go to ccmn.org/youth hunger forum. We can repeat that a little bit later. But we have four speakers coming, and they're all from the front lines of the hunger battle, and they'll describe the challenges posed by COVID, especially as it affects young people, and what we can do about it. So we had the four speakers, as you mentioned, Mary Christensen, who's with us here. She's one of our parishioners, a high school senior, or junior rather, and she's part of the Good Club at St. Paul's Highland High School. But we also have Mary McCune, who is president of the Keystone Community Services Organization in St. Paul. They know firsthand how quickly the face of hunger can change in a crisis. They saw more than 30% of their food shelf participants last year had never used a food shelf before. So
wow.
That's how bad that it changed.
Yeah.
The other two speakers, Nate Youngblood, who is associate director for a group called Every Meal, Fighting Child Hunger, and they do some interesting work. They fill the food gaps on weekends and over summers as when children aren't able to get those free and reduced-priced meals at school. So that's a real important mission. And then finally, Kelly Miller, who is the director of the Department of Indian Work at Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul. The indigenous community was hit especially hard by the pandemic. Just in the first month, I remember our emergency food shelf doubled in demand. Wow. And then it has been climbing steadily ever since, to triple and way beyond. So those are our four speakers, and we're really looking forward to what they have to tell us.
Okay, so this is a Zoom forum on tackling youth hunger, especially in Minnesota, and it's called Young and Hungry, Youth Hunger in Minnesota and What We Can Do About It. It's going to take place Wednesday, February 24th. That's this coming Wednesday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. All right, very good. We'll swing back to you in just a second, Bill, to hear a little bit more about how people can tune in to that. But Mary, I want to tie you into the conversation here, too. First of all, Mary, tell me a little bit about what is the Good Club? Describe the Good Club to us.
Yes, so the Good Club is a Highland Park Senior High's service club, and we focus on creating service opportunities for students of Highland Park Senior High School, and this year we're especially focused on trying to create service projects and other opportunities to help students in the Highland community. And so we also work on other things and informing on social justice and how people can be aware of how they can help their community, and especially struggles that are faced by Highland Park students and families.
Wow. How many people do you have usually in the Good Club?
We have about 20 to 25 members that come on a regular basis, and then there's some that come for certain projects and not others. But yeah, about 25 regular members.
That's great. And you're co-president this year, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fantastic. And so that does that mean you've been involved in years past, I assume?
Yes. The club actually started last year when two seniors created it.
Oh, okay.
And me and two of my friends took an interest in the club, and we helped with a lot of their events. And then we became the presidents this year when those students graduated. And we kind of decided this year to focus on more how we can help the Highland community, because before they we're a really good example of how we can inform students on how they can create change in their community. And we decided this year, since there is so much need with Highland Park students and their families, that we would try to focus on helping them. And that's how we kind of got involved in discussing youth hunger and how we can help.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, you're one of the speakers who's going to be speaking at this forum upcoming on Wednesday. Can you give us a little taste of what you're going to be focusing on, you personally, for your part of the forum?
Yeah, so I was going to discuss how this year we've been having food pop-ups with our club, and it's been really an inspiring experience to me, and it's been kind of alarming how many people in our community need food, and it shows the need of our community and how much help we need to provide. As in general, our community, and I think these pop-up experiences have really shown how this pandemic has affected people. And we focus on getting fresh foods, and we've had meal bags we've given out to people, and I believe that I've seen how this can help, because many people have asked when we'll be coming back, and they've been asking if this will be a regular thing, and I think we're just trying more and more to do it, because there's so many students. 1 in 8 youth in Minnesota face food insecurity, and this has only gone up since the pandemic. And so our club has been meeting with, we decided to make food pop-up events be one of our main focuses, and to get the money to do this, we got donations of canned food, and there was also so much support from Highland students, and so many people donated cans that we were actually able to have 3 food distributions with those cans. But then for fresh food, we also worked with the Gloria Day parishioners, and they were also very helpful, and we also got some grants, and there was just so much support from the community, so that shows how much people want to help.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing, because so many people are in need of food, and so we have been having these events, and they've usually been like 3 to 4 hours that we've been there, but usually our food has actually gone away in the first like hour and a half, because so many people have come, and there have been tons of people waiting, and that just shows how much we can help. And
how great the need is too, right?
Yes, how great the need is. And so it really shows just that people are in need of this. And a lot of those were families, because we mostly published it. We would give food to anyone, but we published it with Highland's newsletters and to Highland families so that they were aware. And so that was a lot of people with high school or middle school age children. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of shows you that children are struggling with this. And obviously we don't want any child to be having to face that, but there are so many in our community. And so we are hoping to continue this for a long time, and we hope that we can keep having our food pop-ups as often as possible.
Now, can I just jump in for a second there, just to ask a question? Now, I have a guess as to what a food pop-up actually is, but can you describe what a food pop-up is?
Yeah, so that's so we got canned donations a few months ago, and we got a ton of them, so we were able to keep giving them, but now we will be getting more, and so that's like we have a food drive to collect those, and then we collect monetary donations so that we can buy fresh foods the day of, and then we make meal bags with the fresh foods, and then we make tables with canned foods so that people can come get a bag of a fresh meal so that they can make a meal. So our most recent one, we had ingredients for tacos. So we had like lettuce, meat, taco shells, cheese, and that kind of stuff in a bag. And then we also had canned food just set out so people could choose their canned food, and then they could also receive a meal bag. And I believe our last one, we had 50 meal bags. I think this time we're trying to have 100 for our next one in March. And so we give those out until they're gone, and then we continue giving the canned goods.
That's exciting. Wow, I love it. I love the idea, and people are turning up. They're coming out, and I think it's a great way of giving back, and it's always good. I got to say, Mary, I don't mean this in any kind of condescending way whatsoever, but I got to say it's always especially exciting when we see our young people taking initiative in some of these much needed areas. So I want to thank you for you and your whole team there as part of the Good Club for being so dedicated to this and continuing to reach out and help fulfill the needs that you're seeing around you. So thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, really, really important. Bill, I want to come back to you for a second as we're talking about this upcoming well, it's a forum to tackle Minnesota youth hunger, and specifically it's on Zoom Wednesday, February 24th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bill, how can people tune in? What do they need to do? They need to register for this? How do they go about that?
Yes, what happens is if you go to our website, and that is CCMN, as in Corpus Christi, Minnesota, so ccmn.org/youth-hunger-forum. All one word, as we used to say.
Yep.
So, and that, then you can register, and then on the actual, like the day before the program, so probably this coming Tuesday most likely, we'll send you the link. And that's how you can get in and listen to our folks. And we'll also be giving everyone an opportunity to donate to the various causes of the speakers. We'll have links to how you can do that, and so that's kind of an important thing, because one of the things when we talk about what we can do about it, well, one of the things we can do is give. So
absolutely, right. Well, I got to say, Bill, just like you led off with there, this is a great time of year to do it during this Lenten season when we're already meant to be focusing on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It's a great time to take stock of the needs around us and to do something about it. So again, our prayers are with you as you launch into this Zoom session on February 24th. I pray that there's lots of really good fruit that comes from it, and a lot of people's needs are met. So thank you, Bill, first of all, for your organizational prowess in putting this together, and thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
And I also want to thank you, Mary, for joining us as well. And again, for being so inspiring as a young person and reaching out to the needs that you see around you. Thank you for doing that, Mary. And thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that's great. Again, that website is ccmn.org/youth-hunger-forum. Go there, register, and they'll send you the link to this Zoom forum Wednesday, February 24th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., Young and Hungry, Youth Hunger in Minnesota, and what we can do about it. All right, we're going to go into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I, as usual, have all sorts of things that you can partake in to help make this Lent an excellent one. So stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Lent is upon us, as you know, and it's always appropriate during this holy season to look to how we can humbly serve others as Jesus did. One simple way is to continue following those COVID guidelines and wear your mask to Mass. For alternatives to in-person Mass, guidance on the COVID vaccines, information on COVID testing, and more, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Start your day in prayer and reflection with Daybreak at 4 a.m., daily Mass at noon and 7:30, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew. Don't forget the Family Rosary across America at 7 p.m., Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
The Archdiocesan Synod at Home series has kicked off. The series takes helpful videos, tips, and tools for growing in faith and pairs them with family-friendly activities based on four pillars: prayer and sacraments, lifelong learning, generosity and service, and traditions and fun. Find weekly videos and materials posted on archspm.org/synod, and while you're there, take a look at a video or two from the Faith and Culture series to sharpen up your understanding of Catholic teaching.
And if you still need some suggestions for deepening your faith this Lent, here are a couple. First, take part in the online Ignatian Lenten Retreat hosted by the Parish of St. Thomas More. Daily readings, reflection questions, teachings from Ignatian spirituality, and a weekly virtual small group for questions. Second, check out the Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes each Friday during Lent following the 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross. This year's theme, St. Joseph, Model for Christians. Information on both of those Lenten programs available at archspm.org/events.
Food insecurity among Minnesota's youngest and most vulnerable is the topic for this year's Lenten Forum, sponsored by the Church of Corpus Christi Social Justice Committee. Young and Hungry, Youth Hunger in Minnesota, and What We Can Do About It will be presented via Zoom on Wednesday, February 24th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Four leaders from the front lines of the hunger battle will describe the challenges posed by COVID and what's being done and how we can help. Anyone with interest in solving youth hunger is invited to join. To register, go to ccmn.org/youthhungerforum.
And to stay updated on all things Practicing Catholic, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. And of course, tune in to Relevant Radio 1330 Fridays at 9 p.m., Saturdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m.
And to find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Instagram, search Practicing Catholic Show and give us a follow. Find Practicing Catholic on Twitter by searching at @PCatholicShow. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rediscoverfaith. And if you'd like to contact the Practicing Catholic team, send us an email. We got an email address, practicingcatholicshow@archspm.org.
Well, there is hope for the future after hearing that last segment.
Oh, man, it's so good to hear, and I love it. I mean, the young people always make great guests on the show, but, man, to see that they're doing something so, so
and so well-spoken on it as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'll try to get more young people on the show. If you have, by the way, if you have a suggestion for someone we should or could have on the show, also go to practicingcatholicshow.com, and that'll take you to a link that you can suggest someone. All right, well, let's talk about what is coming up next time. Next time on Practicing Catholic, a conversation with not one, but two bishops. Both Bishop Cousins and Bishop Donald DeGroote are going to be with us. And then Father Tom Margavishes is also with us to share about a new monthly series celebrating the year of St. Joseph called, I love this, A Wonderful Cup of Joe. That's coming up next time. But in the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.